Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Thursday, September 12th, 2019. This is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 4, page 54 in We Agnostics, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with, "We found two, we had been worshipers," and we'll be reading this one paragraph ending in, "We had been living by faith and little else." We will be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Cindy K. for the 12 steps, Ann P. for the 12 traditions, and readers of our text are Dion R., Leslie W., and Robin P. Our newcomer greeter today is Mary H. and Reggie O. For our announcements, and the share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, September 11th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,386. That's 13386. And the share ID for this morning's Thursday, September 12th, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,392. That's 13392. The OA Preamblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Cindy K. to read the 12 steps of OA. Cindy, are you on the line there? If not, Robin P., can you please read the 12 steps? Star 1 to unmute, please. Robin P.?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive
thank you.
Overeater. Thank you. So, step one, we admitted we are powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. Have a blessed afternoon day, everybody.
And thank you, Robin P. Robin P. And Ann P., could you please read our 12 traditions of OA? Ann?
Yes. Hi, good morning. Ann P. from Nixa, Missouri, recovering food alcoholic. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a good day.
And thank you, Ann P., for being of service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you've done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And that does include your mute button, so please use star 1 rather than your mute button on your phone. We appreciate that. That way we have a nice, quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 54. We're in the chapter We Agnostics, which is chapter 4. And on page 54, paragraph 1, starting with, we found, too, that we have been worshipers. And we're going to read through that one paragraph only, and it ends with, we had been living by faith and little else. So with Dion R., please start reading. Dion?
Hi, good morning. Hi, this is Dion R., a recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. And since we found, too, that we had been worshipers, what a state of mental goofiness that used to bring on. Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves? And then, with a better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower? Who of us had not loved something or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worship have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing, we saw at last. We were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or love or worship. In one form or another, we had been living by faith and little else. Yes, and that is powerful. Just reading over the definition on the side of my book that I have for mental goofless that I got from the Big Book Dictionary is goofless. It has for goosebumps, you know, brought on by fear, cold, excitement, you know. And when I think about being excited and worshiping things, and then the part of here of the people, worshiping people, and before I could worship things or sentiment and all those type of things that I can remember since a long time was people. And it was to please my mom. My parents, I wanted to please her. Daddy didn't take much to please him. But mom, you know, I was always trying to please her. How can I please that parent, my mom? And I would go to extremists, getting the best A, the best this, best A. If everything was perfect, and I can understand where that perfection came on. And she probably, you know, had to do the same thing, pass it on. And to our higher power, said enough is enough. So I love this being introduced to the program, God gave me a beautiful spiritual mom, which I called her my sponsor, my late sponsor for many years. She showed me that I can just be. I don't have to try to do, if that makes sense. So, but I was trying to, if I get a better A, or I just never could get that that I wanted from her. And unfortunately, she couldn't get something she couldn't have. I mean, she couldn't pass on something she didn't have. Later, we found out in life, our whole family, it was a lot of organic damage to her brain, so she couldn't. But I always was able to look in her eyes after being in the program and recovered. Since 2012, God gave me the gift to be able to look her directly in the eyes. And when we look at each other, because she's suffering dementia now, but with the look at her now, I see her smile, and she smiles when I look her in the eye. I never knew it was that easy. It was like, wow. But anyway, it's just saying I did all these things, and when it didn't work, I went to food. I went to whatever it was. And I used to think I didn't have faith, but or love. And a flower. I just want to say a little bit about that, the flowers they talk about. And I didn't notice how beautiful flowers were until I was recovered, if that makes sense. I kept saying, oh, they are so beautiful. How long have they been there? People were like, oh, they've been there. Dion, look, they've been growing for years right there. But they were just, I saw them, but I didn't see the beauty of them, if that makes sense. So with that, I also see the beauty in myself, my mom, and countless others. Because I couldn't give something I didn't have. You guys gave me that. Y'all got me the capacity to love and see it in any and everybody. And with that, I'll pass. And thanks for allowing me to be of service to you all. That's all I got today.
And thank you, Dionor, for getting us started this morning. Okay, so just reminding everybody, we're on page 54 of the first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers, ending with, we had been living by faith and little else. Who would like to share this morning?
Lisa J.R.
Okay, I heard Lisa J.R.
Polly Q.
Polly Q.
Bruce E.
Danielle.
Bruce. Okay, I heard Bruce E. Did I hear a Danielle?
Danielle S.S., yes.
Danielle S.S.?
Yes.
Okay, and I heard a man's voice. Another guy? Okay. Who's next, please?
Robin P.
Okay. Robin, I got you.
And Mary H.
I'm sorry. Was that Darren K?
No, Mary H.
Mary H. Wow. Sorry about that, Mary H.
That's okay.
All right. Well, I've got my lineup here. We've got Lisa J.R., Polly Q., Bruce E., Danielle F.S., Robin P. and Mary H. And we'll catch you on another round. If I didn't catch your name, I'm sorry. All right. So, Lisa J.R., please get us started. Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, good morning. Thanks so much for your faithful service. Love this 10 a.m. meeting. Wow. Gratefully recovered in Baltimore. You know, it's been a while. I kind of went through a little period of menopause, program menopause. I've been around for a while, you know, put the plug in the jug, and man, it's been an amazing ride. And I saw recently that I had to take my abstinence, re-examine it, take that plumb line to the cornerstone and see if I was in alignment and my walls were going up straight. And sure enough, found that, yeah, you know, I got to tweak a few things. And you guys have really helped me see with clarity. You know, I think about going to the eye doctor and that wheel that, you know, has the different lenses in it. And some are blurry and you see clearer and clearer. And I'm beginning to see more clearly. You guys are helping me with that here in vision and studying the big book. But, you know, and I one thing I did realize that, you know, I didn't worship food, really. I used to think I did. I worshiped feeling good. I worshiped avoiding pain. I was chasing this feel good. You know, if it wasn't alcohol, if it wasn't food, anything to avoid pain. And food just turned out to be the supreme vehicle that I used to avoid any discomfort, any pain. I could numb out on the food. It was a portable vacation for me. I wanted to avoid pain. And you guys have taught me patience. you have taught me to grow my faith, knowing that I can get through periods of pain without numbing out, and that, you know, I'm able to just, you know, call a fellow to work my program around it and grow. And it's been miraculous, because really what I didn't understand, and I understand now, that cupcakes were just a symbol. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Polly Q., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Polly, good morning. Polly Q.? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Can you hear me?
I can now. Go ahead, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Polly.
Hi, I'm Polly Q. in Northern California, recovered. And I just love this because, you know, what happened was I always lived by faith in me, except I was, you know, had an inferiority complex, problems with self-esteem. I was a food addict. I am a food addict. I was in the food. And I had all kinds of human character flaws, but I was all about self-reliance. And every day I can be. I wake up an agnostic, and I have to decide, well, who's in charge today, Polly? Do you think it's you, or do you think it's your higher power? And I have to decide where the faith is going to be. You know, I wish I didn't, but I do. Otherwise, I just lived that way for so long, I'll automatically, without even realizing it, I'll try to take over, and I will rely. I think I'm relying on me. What I really think is happening, though, what's starting to come to me is that, nope, I'm relying on that ego of mine. That's what I'm relying on, because that's how I lived my life. And that's what would drive me into fear and into pain and then ultimately into the food. So I have to wake up every day and do a lot of different work. You know, I have to make my outreach calls. I have to write that food plan out. I work with a bazillion sponsees. I work with a sponsor. I have to do a lot of different things every day in order to stay in faith with a higher power rather than in faith and self-reliance, which is always going to be ego-based. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Polly Q. Bruce E., you're up, followed by Daniel F.S. Bruce?
Yeah, good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
Everybody. Good morning, everybody on the line. I'm a recovered food addict. I'm in North Carolina. Name is Bruce E. And, well, what used to give me, I've gotten a case of mental goose flesh, a state of mental goose flesh. When I ate a birthday cake, especially if I washed it down with a couple of 16-ounce cups of cappuccino, and I didn't worship the food. I don't think I got down and worshiped the birthday cake. I worshiped what it did for me. You know, it gave me a hit, man, that would send me to the moon, and then back down, and I'd miss Earth and hit hell. So that was the downside of that whole thing. But I had worshipped over the years. I've worshipped people. I've worshipped money. I was in the stockbroker, and all of my income was based on commissions. And when I'd get a big commission, I mean, I'd worship that, you know, and what a relief. But then it talks about, and then with a better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, yeah, they can be awesome, the sea or a flower. So I'm out the other day walking on this North Carolina road, and there's a lot of different flowers along this road. And I started looking at each one, picking it up and just examining it and looking closely at it. And each one had a certain number of petals, and it had the pollen, and the yellow ones had the yellow pollen, and there was a blue one that I found that had white pollen. I didn't even know that God, in his infinite wisdom, created a flower with white pollen. Why would he ever do that? Why'd he do that? Well, he had reason to do that. I don't understand God. I just stand under God. But when I was a child, I'm getting some of that back now, because when I was a child, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, I would pick a flower and just stand there and just, I don't know if I worshiped it, but just really examined it, really, really looked at it. And when I was about 45 years old, I remember helping an older man out, and I just thought I was so busy, and I just took, felt like I was really on an ego trip to think that I had to take him out. I was just so put out to have to take him and help him a little bit. And I took him to the bank, and I'm out to the car, and he's using a walker, and I can't figure out where he is. And I'm looking back, and the guy, 90 years old, stops, and he's smelling a flower on his, stopped his walker, stopped on the way out of the bank, and he's smelling a flower, and I'm thinking, my God, man, what is going on in my life here? I got to wait for this guy to smell a flower, and I'm so important. I got so many things to do.
Time?
So, I need to stop and smell a flower. So that's it for me. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. Danielle F.S., you're up, followed by Robin P. Danielle? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Hi, my name is Danielle F.F., and I'm very grateful to be here. A few days back, so I'm possibly due a pregnancy today. I'm just waiting and just staying really calm. I thought a meeting would be great, especially if I'm going to deliver today. And we're doing home birth. And about 4 or 5 days ago, I accidentally had alcohol poisoning. My midwife gave me something that I had to take internally in another way. And I probably had micrograms, not even milligrams, but micrograms of alcohol, but I have not had anything in my system in almost 17 years. And I had a horrific reaction. And the whole time that I meditated for about the whole evening, my husband and I stayed awake and waited till the stuff came out of my system. I kept saying to him, how the hell did I ever do anything like that to cause those symptoms in my body? That anxiety, that terror, that up and down, my heart rate going up and down. I've been in recovery now for 16 years. And
Danielle,
yes.
We would love to hear what you have to say about your topic today. We're so happy you're going to have a baby today, but we would love for you to stay on the topic that we're sharing with today.
Oh, it's about food. Yes. This is, I am on topic. And it just brought me back to, I couldn't understand how in the world I used anything. Food was the thing that happened afterwards. I had used food and eating disorder as a mechanism for control. And in that, the idea of worship, it was worshiping this visual that I thought I was supposed to attain, this perfection or this concept of who I am supposed to be based off of other people. And some years ago, I was finally able to disengage from all of that. It took me years into recovery. And there's still this part of me sometimes that I'm sitting in the gym right now. My daughter's at a play place. And there's still a part of me that's terrified of gaining weight. And I have a lot on me right now because I'm pregnant. But there's that worship of body, that worship of what I'm supposed to look like, what my life is supposed to look like right now. And meetings keep me right-sized, talking and doing 10 steps in the evening with some of the women in the group have kept me right-sized. My eating has been, I couldn't maintain a direct plan just because some days the baby's more hungry. And but I have this, with this pregnancy, not my last pregnancy, but with this pregnancy, I've managed to keep everything in check and stay calm and grow with it, as opposed to the other one, I felt really out of control. and being in, making sure I was going to OA meetings through this whole pregnancy really kept me so much more sane, because the idea of trying to control my food while I'm pregnant, trying to control the way that my body responds to it while I'm pregnant, was very insane. And there's a lot, you know, in the media that you look at pictures, right. And there's a lot of, thank you, there's a lot of worship of that idealistic looking body. And I have to just, I just need to look at myself and say, I am in perfect shape because God is doing this for me. And I am working with the universe. So thank you all. And I'm going to leave my number because I don't know in case I go into labor home on the phone.
We don't leave our numbers at this time.
Oh.
I'm sorry. But thank you so much. And we wish you well. And
okay, bye.
You, Danielle. Thank you. Robin P., you're up, followed by Mary H. Robin?
Hi, this is Robin C. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And this is a really important paragraph because I've worshipped so many things, you know, things that I thought were going to fill me up from the outside. I starred on Broadway for a while and I thought, well, that would fill me up, you know, and dance in hotel rooms and limos and everything. That would fill me up, you know, and nothing fills that God hole. And worshipping the ideal of the external, you know, if I looked good, I could feel good about myself. I felt, you know, that self-centered fear at the center of the universe, you know, and I felt so inferior to people that I felt if I looked superior in some ways that I could equal it out and balance it out. And that never worked because it's a God thing. And it's a God-shaped hole, and just nothing. If I ate enough food and did enough things and starved myself and did all those things to look perfect, if they were going to work, they would have worked. Worshiply, just all of it. It's such a powerful paragraph, you know, that we had been worshipers. You know, whatever I focused on was what I was worshiping. And I just love that this book is so thorough, and that I had a faith in something that did not work. And my only faith that I can trust in and have hope and trust in is God and living in recovery today. That's my barometer. And I'm going through a health crisis with EMF radiation. I've been dealing with it for 7 years, and it's just reached a pinnacle for me. And I just feel so powerless. And I've been powerless over a lot of things in my life, probably everything. And the only thing that works for me is just surrendering, asking for help, asking for prayer, praying, and submitting to God. I'm just completely powerless. I'm very grateful to be abstinent today. It's such a blessing. I'd be so remiss if I weren't abstinent going through this. So thank you, God. And I wish everyone a blessed abstinent day. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Mary H., and before we hear from Mary H., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 54, paragraph 1. We found, too, that we've been worshipers. So we're going to comment on that one paragraph. So after we hear from Mary H., I'll take some more names and we'll get started again. Mary H., please go ahead.
Hi there. This is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin. And so this paragraph hits me hard in a couple of different ways. So the way that my childhood went, there was some really extreme religious behavior that happened. And I've been a person who has always had some understanding of a power greater than myself that was benevolent. But the people in my life that used words like worship were not people who were talking about a God who was benevolent, personal to me, and all-loving. And so I really appreciated that this called that out in me when I first read this. I had been a worshiper. I had been a worshiper, even though that, you know, the antipathy that talks about that word brought up in me, and the worship that it called out, I have a much greater understanding of that now than I did when I first read this. But the first thing that really, really started to show me was this concept of the worship of sentiment. Someone else mentioned a bit about it already, about really worshiping the just feeling good, worshiping feeling good. And, you know, I don't want to say, some people talk about being a feel-good junkie, and it wasn't really that for me, at least not the way that I conceptualized of it. It was that I was running away from pain. I was running away from pain. And I was doing anything that I could that seemed to work reasonably well to be able, pardon me, to be able to get away from that pain. And I would do whatever would help me disassociate, right? TV, food, relationships, but also even just being obsessed with my own feelings. I really thought before I found a higher power, I was partially convinced that my huge feelings that I had, that if I just would feel them enough, that there would be some kind of answer for me there. And I lived so much in between my ears, just in my head, thinking about my pain, thinking about my feelings, thinking about how I felt about things, and thinking that there was some kind of answer there. And this points out to me today, you know, this is like the answer to the set-aside prayer. What I need to set aside, and of course I don't need to know what I need to set aside to be able to pray the set-aside prayer. But that's what I'm setting aside. I'm setting aside all these other worships, and I'm asking God to open my eyes to what is it that's getting in the way today, and my willingness to set it aside. So I'm glad to be here and abstinent today and with a higher power. And I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Mary H. All right. So just reminding everybody, we're on page 54, paragraph 1. Comments on that paragraph? Who would like to share?
Anthony S.
Anthony S. Got
Tamara
Anthony?
C.
Who was that?
W.
I'm sorry?
Tamara C?
Somebody C.
Tamara. Tamara C.
Is that T as in Tom, Tamara?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. And I heard Des M, I think I was. And I think I heard Leslie W. And I'll take one more. Two more.
Beatrice O.
Beatrice, got you. And
Laura R.
Laura R. All right. We have our lineup here. So I have Anthony S., Tara C., Des M., Leslie W., Beatrice O., and Laura R. All right, Anthony, please go ahead. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Anthony S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So when I heard this topic, I thought immediately about, like, something that was a big thing in my life back a few years ago when I was really, really not doing well, and actually still comes up till now, to be honest. And the way that I visualize this, because I know a lot of people talk about it, and it's very common in our society and culture to hear this kind of vocabulary. But the way that it's been, you know, to me is whenever I kind of like focus on something that's not like related to God or my higher power or like my big purpose in life, like anything that's not related to what I'm doing in the day, that, for example, work. I mean, I happen to be a student, but like a lot of people are working. So, for example, work or being a parent or anything that's kind of major in your life, like whenever I switch away from that, like I find that I have a possibility that I'm worshiping something other than my higher power. And when I've found it over the years to be actually like unresolvably brave to do this, like every single time I do it and I start to get really into something and I just kind of think about it, it's like it becomes like very much in my mind all the time. It really never resolves until I hit a rock bottom. And so I've kind of deduced that it's like infinitely an issue for me.
Anthony, I'm sorry. Can you get to another area where it's kind of noisy in the background? Could you please maybe move somewhere where we don't hear the noise? Thank you.
I'll pass then. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Anthony. Tamara C., you're up, followed by Des M. Tamara?
Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered in California. Okay, so this paragraph, part of it anyway, is telling me, what it tells me today is that I have always had the capacity for faith and worship. And I can look back over my life and see times where, like, my heart was just filled with a sense of awe and inspiration and worship. Usually for me, it's been in some setting in nature. Sometimes it's something like amazing and beautiful, and sometimes it's just being in a simple setting outdoors, just sitting there and just feeling uplifted. And so I think what it's telling me is, if I have this capacity for faith, then why not just surrender? Why not just use it to surrender all my fears and my self-reliance? And why not just have faith that a power greater than me is holding me and guiding me and will never let me go? And why not surrender to this power instead of thinking that it's my job to control my food, control my thoughts and my actions, control the world around me? These are just old ideas that are hard to let go of. And so I'm finding that when I spend time in the steps, then for today, it brings me up to a place of surrender. And then when I pick up my self-reliance again, when I pick up those old ideas, the steps are still there for me to go back to and to get back to use my capacity for faith and just keep surrendering over and over again. And the more I do it, the easier it gets. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. Des M., you're up, followed by Leslie W. Des, good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Des M., recovered in California as well. Thanks so much, Team Thursday, for your service. I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning and, you know, just living in the promises. And this paragraph is just so hitting my heart. Yeah, like, I have worshipped people, sentiments, things, money, and myself. I do worship, you know, people, sentiments, things, money, and myself on a daily basis, you know, and I am recovered, so I get to work the steps so that I can change my worshiping to be one of worshiping and turning my will and my life over to that power greater than me. And I'm just so grateful, like, at a deep, deep place in my soul, that today I woke up with this fear of a new relationship in my life. You know, it happens to be a relationship with a new sponsee. Any relationships in my life, love, sponsorship, friendships, I'm learning and every day saying a prayer about God directing my ideals in these relationships so that I can learn how to have right relationships with others like it teaches us. And today, the miracle in my life is that I don't have to, thank you, I don't have to worship my other people. Today, I have a higher power that's teaching me how to learn how to have these relationships. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Desmond. Leslie W., you're up, followed by Beatrice O. Leslie?
Thank you for your service. This is Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. You know, this paragraph just reminds me of the fact that everybody worships something, and everybody has faith in something. We just, you know, and don't really think of it in those terms, or at least I don't think about it in those terms. And, you know, listening to all the shares this morning and hearing everybody talk about the things that we have worshiped, you know, I would just like to say that I too have been guilty of worshiping everything but my higher power. And sometimes I can even worship the program. I know that sounds a little odd to some, or it may, but I can get so caught up in checking off the boxes that I don't really spend that needed time and doing, you know, I can busy myself and distract myself by doing service or talking to fellows on the phone. Meanwhile, my higher powers, God is saying, Leslie, come back to me. You're veering off the track. I need time with you. Like you need to center yourself in me and connect with me. Don't forget about me, you know. So it's just for me at the stage that I'm in now, my recovery is that I really have to focus on first things first and getting done the things that are essential for me, which is connection and cultivating that spiritual connection with my higher power, with him, so that then everything trickles down from that. And I'm not just trying to do and perform and busy myself and distract myself, because that is how I operate. And I'm just a steam train that once I get rolling, it just barrels through. And so, you know, I really take a lot from this paragraph, but what I'm taking from this the most is priorities. Priorities in worshiping the one who deserves my time and attention. And so with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie W. Beatrice O., you're up, followed by Laura R. Beatrice?
Good morning, this is Beatrice from Northern California, recovering food addict. And what I got out of this paragraph is that, you know, what I really had was faith in reverse. I had faith in everything that I could see and no faith of things that I couldn't see, because I wanted to understand God, and I had to have my faith required. I needed something to be tangible in order for me to believe. And actually, I had more faith in my compulsive eating and bulimia than I had in anything else. Actually, that was one of my idols, and I worshipped, I worshipped money and education, and this society were capitalists, and we worship money at the expense of people. And so where I'm at today is I have to be careful not to worship recovery, but worship God. My higher power is to be revered. And thank God I've had a shift in my belief. The other thing that I worshiped is the lies. I believed the lies, that I wasn't good enough and that I wasn't worthy. And in the paragraph before, it says, objectly, A-B-G-J-E-C-T, I can barely pronounce it, but what it means is miserable or shamelessly, the God of reason. And that's what I had. I had a miserable faith in reason because I couldn't understand God. And what I've learned is I had a worship and a need for worldly things that was killing me. And what I didn't understand is I needed my mind, body, and spirit to operate together. And I think because I don't know this for sure, but because I was a child of trauma, I couldn't feel. I had an inability to recognize my own emotions. And so I recognize that today. And I have faith in what I don't see today. and I have faith in my higher power, and I've had to stop projecting my wounds. And
time,
I can emotionally detach today. So I am very grateful to be a recovering food addict with a spiritual awareness. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Beatrice. So Laura R., you're up. And we might have time for one more share. We'll see how it goes. Laura R., you're up, please.
Thank you so much. This is Laura R. in Colorado, compulsive overeater. Grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, my gosh. What a paragraph. And it's so cool to be in this book over the years and see how this paragraph has changed. Now, I've always known that this has been a relatable paragraph for me. Unfortunately, I've been driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. So I have been stepping on the toes of my fellows and driving for success, driving to feel better. I think I came out of the womb just uncomfortable in my own skin and always saying, like, I just don't understand how to live this life, you know? And so I didn't get the God thing. I mean, even if my mom made me go to church, like, I just didn't understand how that was relating to my life. So I was looking at society and what people were doing and what seemed to make them okay. And I was grabbing onto that. And so I think I've shared this before, but my first thing that made me feel okay was the, like, if I can try to just get to that group, that popular group, in you know, when I was growing up in school and I saw that all the kids liked them. And so if I can get there, I'll be okay. And just driving and stepping on the toes of my fellows to get there and, you know, manipulating and making friends, you know, and just not being truthful or honest and being harmful to people and, it, you know, whatever. And it just got worse and worse. And, you know, you find alcohol and then you find food and then you find men and then you find, you know, it's just like this awful, you know, spiral. And it's so amazing. I am just sitting here so incredibly grateful. And the things that I have done in my marriage, when I was single, I have an Arizona phone number because for 6 months I was in Arizona for a relationship that I, you know, flew out there because that was going to be, you know, I love that line. Didn't these feelings after all determine the course of my existence? You know, I had, like, there was no God. It was just like, okay, I feel and I'm moving, you know, and oh my, you know, so many things. But what's so cool is that in this program, I have learned, I just feel like God is stripping me of all the old ideas and having me let go of more and more and more of more food, of alcohol, of all kinds of things. And right now in my life, I'm just in awe because what is happening is less is more is the motto. And it's extremely difficult for a person like me who is driven for success and achievement. I remember once, this is years ago, but you know, like 4 years ago, this has been a process that I was sitting folding my husband's laundry. And I'm like, seriously, this is it? Because I get, you know, I'm my worth from people telling me that, atta girl, and I'm folding laundry now. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Like, but God had to strip me from everything and now is building me up. And it is so amazing that I'm able to slowly learn how to do self-care. And in return, I'm able to love others. And it's amazing. But I have to read this in Freedom from Bondage. It says, I get everything I need in Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I need, I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find that it was
time.
Just what I wanted all the time. What God has in store for me is just what I wanted all the time. Not what I have, but what God has, and with that I'll pass.
And thank you, Laura R. So I think we're going to stop a little early today and give some time for our newcomers and for sponsorship. So I want to thank everybody for a fabulous meeting this morning. Thank you all that shared, all who listened. I want to take the time to thank Team Thursday. We see Robin P. read our 12 steps today, and P. read our 12 traditions. Dion R. was our text reader. Leslie W. is going to read page 164, and Robin P. was our backup, who also read the 12 steps. Thank you, Robin. Newcomer greeter Mary H. and Reggie O. will do our announcements. So we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Leslie W., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Leslie?
I will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little.
God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.